Hey guys, and welcome to week 5 of the Cultivate podcast, continuing through the book of Romans. I got Lexus here with me this week.
Hey y'all.
And we are continuing through the answer portion of Romans in our timeline. And we just covered Romans 5, which covered being people of peace and hope in the midst of these times. It was super relevant to what's happening right now. And now we are moving into Romans 7. So, Lexus, give us a little picture of where we're at, what we skipped over, and what we need to know as we head into this conversation.
Yeah, so you might have noticed that we did skip Romans 6, not because it's not a great chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. It's just we only have 10 weeks to get through, what is it, 16 chapters of Romans? So we wanted to make sure that we hit some of the good stuff, but also we are missing so much of the good stuff. And so we're walking into Romans 7 this week. And you'll see that it's in the answer section. But if you haven't read Romans 7, I'm going to need you to hit pause right now, go back, read it, and then come back and hop back in with us. Because I'm going to say it, it's kind of a downer of a chapter. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, really kind of weird, because you go through Romans 6 and it's this like amazing thing. Then you go through Romans 7, you're like, I'm a little down. So what's going on here, you know?
Yep.
So, basically, Romans 7 is talking about how the law has created this monster within us, is what it says. That's what it says. But as we look at Romans 7, we start to see that the law is actually really good. And that's what Paul's trying to tell us, is that it's not the law that's bad. I mean, we've talked about the law so much on this podcast, I feel like, at this point. So if you don't know what the law is, go back and listen to some of the other podcasts. The quick little gist of it is that the law was put in place to help the people of God keep his commands and to stay holy and to be set apart from the other people, the other nations. And so that they would set an example for the people of how to love God and to glorify him. So that inherently is good. But then Paul starts talking about how when we hear things about the law, like if I hear that I'm not supposed to eat ice cream and I'm telling myself, you know what, I'm not going to eat ice cream. It's in the fridge, but I'm not going to eat it. But then eventually I find some kind of way to justify, you know what, I think I'm just going to have ice cream tonight because I did work out this morning. And so it's actually going to be fine that I eat ice cream, and I make this whole justification. Well, I just broke the rule that I made for myself. Obviously that's not a rule from God, because ice cream is so good and we have to be eating that. But,
that's doctrine.
That's doctrine for sure. But we want to make sure that we are not twisting that thing, the law. And so Paul starts using this kind of disguise in a way. Mm-hmm. I say in the leader guide that it's kind of like a preacher imitation mode that he kind of walks into. And I think that we can all kind of envision sitting through a sermon on a Sunday morning and the pastor is just talking about, he's talking about, oh, this is how the law is. This is how sin works. And so then he kind of pretends to be someone who's stuck in sin, right?
Right.
Right. So, Paul kind of takes on this persona where he becomes this person who is stuck in sin, stuck in the ways of sin. And he starts saying things in like verse 7. I'm going to go and get my Bible.
Yeah, let's
get into the text here. Romans 7, 7. What then shall we say, that the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had been for the law, I would have not known sin. Skipping down to verse 15, my favorite verse of Romans 7. It says, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so what you're saying is I'm just like totally justified in my sin because Paul does it too?
Oh, interesting that you say that, Landon, because I was telling Landon earlier that the misconception that I held most when I first started reading the Bible was that Paul is struggling, and Paul's like one of those like mega Christians. Like he's one of those people who like really loves the Lord. So if he's struggling in sin and he's super holy, then see, I can't help it. Like when I sin, it's not like my fault that I'm doing it. I'm just, you know, it's happening. And so it's okay because Paul does it too. But that is a kind of wrong reading of this passage. He's really imitating someone else. That's what, if you look through most commentaries, that's what they say. Mm-hmm. And so people who are scholars of the Bible agree that...
So grateful for them.
Yes, seriously. Thank you, Lord, for scholars of the Bible. But they agree that Paul is really trying to help people understand this kind of mentality by being a person that's has that mentality. And so I'm sure that my core group girls will remember me... A couple years ago, we were going through Romans 8, and I said, okay, we need some context for Romans 8, so let's go back to Romans 7. And I read this passage, and I was like, isn't that so comforting? Like, it's so nice to know that, like, it's okay. I was wrong, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Like, I was wrong in the way that I was interpreting the Bible, and so I'm making my confession here, public, on the podcast, wow. that's not necessarily the way that it needs to be read, which is kind of crazy for me, but yeah.
Hey, there's grace for it.
Thank
so,
you.
And I think that's, I mean, we read that little bit there, and you know, that verse 15 that you referenced, you know, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I think we, you know, it takes a little bit to like flesh out, okay, what is he actually saying there?
Yeah.
But it's like, I want to do good things. I want to follow Jesus, but I'm having a really hard time doing that.
Yeah.
And so I think that we read that and we're like, holy crap, I resonate with that.
Yeah,
which
so
means
relatable.
That Paul's doing a really good job of imitating
us. Yes, exactly. He's doing a great job. And I mean, it's funny. Right now, I'm using this Bible that I got my senior year of high school. And it's the only thing that I've ever... I'm going to show Landon. I wish that you all could see what I'm showing him. But it's...
Lexus is an artist, guys.
It's like on the side of my Bible, and it says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And it's like this artwork on the side of my journaling Bible that I got because I was like, I just resonate so much with that.
I just feel that.
I feel it, Paul. Yeah. And it's true. We do feel that. Like, I mean, there's so many times where I want to do what the Lord is asking me to do, but then somehow, some way, I find some crazy way to not do what he's asked me to do, did not walk on the path of obedience, you know?
Yep.
So anyway, just thought I'd make that little confession here and
no,
maybe
so
help
good.
You guys to not read it the way that I read it, you know?
Yeah. So Paul is imitating us. Maybe kind of break down why we're flawed in our thinking. Mm. Why, I don't know, we feel so stuck in our sin when really there's a better way.
Yeah. I think that what he's saying in Romans 7 is that when we sin, we feel ourselves kind of caught up in it, you know? Because once you sin once, it becomes this slippery slope where all of a sudden it's becoming more and more sin if it goes unchecked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a life of sin does lead to death. And so it says back in Romans 6, going back a little bit, that we are slaves to righteousness. And I know that is just, being called a slave is just not the most enjoyable thing in the whole entire world. But you really do choose what you're going to be a slave to. You choose, am I going to be a slave to righteousness, or am I going to be a slave to sin?
Yep.
And so being a slave to sin, death, just death all day long. It takes you into all these things that you don't actually want to be in.
Yeah.
It makes you feel shameful, and it makes you feel like you can't bring things into the light with your community. It makes you feel like everything needs to be hidden. No one can know how bad I am. No mm-hmm. one can know what goes through my mind. No one can know this. But being a slave to righteousness is actually freeing. It brings you into real life, what real life is like, the life that the Lord created us for. And it says, you know, hey, slaves to righteousness, that means that I get to freely serve the Lord. That means that he's not going to force me into anything, but he is going to ask me to take a step into to new things and to things that he's trying to accomplish in this world. He wants to use me. He wants me to be a part of things because, you know, we're a part of his family, which we'll get back to in Romans 8 a little bit later. So I just think that I'm not sure if I answered your question, but
no, it's all good.
I think that's kind of where I went.
Yeah, no, and I think that's important. I think that, I don't know, I feel like part of what Paul's laying out here in Romans 7 is just like, this is what's going to happen if you try to do this thing on your own. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
If you find yourself stuck in sin and you just keep trying to fight your way out of it on your own, I think it's going to end up being pretty isolating and kind of cyclical in that, like, you just keep finding yourself doing the same things over and over again. We should try to claw out of it on our own. Mm-hmm. And through, I think there's a difference between trying to combat sin by just like doing a bunch of good deeds,
yeah,
and trying to be a better person and like walking in step with the Spirit, which again, one of the pitfalls of like the way that we have to kind of break up the scripture through these, you know, into different weeks so that we actually have content for every week of group is that we can kind of miss the cohesive story.
Yeah.
And so I think so much of, you know, Romans 7 has to be understood through the lens of Romans 8, which yeah, we'll get to. But what I'm saying there is just like, I think that, yeah, this is kind of like, here's why you probably shouldn't be doing this on your own. And this can lead to just isolation, like you're saying, like not trusting your community and trying to, I don't know, climb up a hill by yourself and you just keep kind of rolling back.
Yeah.
When you try to do it on your own.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that really just kind of leads into the structure of what Romans 7 is. And so, for those of you that don't know, I am a secondary English education major, which means I should have been a high school English teacher. So I do get pretty nerdy about, you know, Englishy things.
Yeah. Let's nerd out for a bit.
Yeah. Let's just nerd out here for just a sec. And so the cool thing about Romans 7 is that it is sandwiched between Romans 6 and Romans 8. Revolutionary. I know.
It's peanut butter and jelly.
It is.
Between
it
the two
is.
Pieces of bread.
Yes. The two pieces of bread being Romans 6 and Romans 8. And so in Romans 6, we talked a little bit about how like we are slaves to righteousness. We've said that. But then we come into Romans 7 and it's like, looks like you're a slave to sin. And it's a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
And then you go into Romans 8 and it says, oh, you get to have life in the Spirit. You're co-heirs with Christ. God loves you so much. And so it's a little confusing that we could go from Romans 6 to then go down into Romans 7 and then come back up into Romans 8. It feels like a little bit misplaced.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of Romans 7 as the rebuttal, if you all remember in English class, when you write your argument, you have, you know, your main points that you explain for your audience.
Yep.
But then you also have your rebuttal where you say, well, here's the other side of things. And because this side of things is so not great, you really, really need to agree with me here and think this way.
Yeah.
And so that's how you come and you relate with people so that you can pull them into, no, this is what you really need. And so that's what Paul's doing. Basically, the whole entire letter of Romans is him trying to persuade the Roman people that they need Jesus. And so when you go through Romans 7 and you talk about, I don't know why I do what I do. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. I want to love the Lord, but I can't do it. When I do the things that I do, it just takes me backwards. He's saying like, well, yeah, when you're doing it on your own, you can't do it. It's not going to work. You really do need Jesus to come and to help you through the Spirit into what's coming next. And so what I thought was really cool, I was reading through, in preparation for today, I was reading through just the Message version of Romans 7. And at the end, you know, it's kind of a downer the whole entire time I keep saying this.
Yep.
But then it gets to the end, verses 24 and 25, and it says in the Message version, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? I mean, really down here in the dumps with Paul right now. And then in verse 25, it says, the answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Mm. And so at the very end of Romans 7, Paul starts to kind of get into the hopeful part of things that will eventually take us into Romans 8.
Yeah, and I think that justifies Romans 7 as a part of, you know, the answer mm-hmm. in our timeline, because really, you know, without the context, I think you can kind of view, you know, this is the detour, you know, this is the bathroom stop on the mm-hmm. road trip.
Yeah.
When really, you know, it's still a very linear argument.
Yeah.
And I think laying it out as you did, kind of even thinking like an English paper, I think we can all relate to that of just like, you have to make your counter argument. Mm-hmm. You got to, you know, go to your detractors so that you can get them on board.
Yeah.
And so I think that Paul kind of has us all nodding along of like, man, I'm really just at the end of myself and I need an answer that's outside of myself to help me overcome my sinful nature.
Yeah.
Which kind of teases into Romans 8. So, yeah, he's just kind of saying, buckle up, here we go. Here comes the answer. And we'll be back to talk about that next week. But in the meantime, what can students be doing? Maybe what's a tangible step they can take to help them understand, I don't know, just this kind of little, this pocket of Romans 6, 7, and 8 as a whole.
Yeah. I put this in the leader's guide, but I just think that it would be a really, really great practice to listen to Romans 6, 7, and 8 in order, all in one sitting. Don't break it up. Listen to it in one sitting, because this letter would have been read to the Romans out loud. People would have been sitting and they would have been listening, or standing, who knows? But they would have been listening to what this letter had to say. They wanted to hear the words of Paul. And so it all would have been more cohesive because they're sitting there listening to it all in one gulp. And so I just think it would be really cool for us, especially since we're not reading Romans 6 technically during curriculum.
Right.
It would be really cool for you to, it's on the Bible app. You can push play and listen to someone read the Bible to you, or there's plenty of YouTube videos online where you can look up Romans 6 and just let it play, and then Romans 7 and let it play. So I think that would be really helpful for anyone to just listen to it all in one sitting.
Yeah. And I'll say that, you know, in preparation for these podcasts that we're sitting down to do on 7 and 8, you know, I was like, hey, like, this is actually a really good idea. I'm going to do this myself. Mm-hmm. And it really did help me to kind of see that overarching argument that Paul is laying out.
Yeah.
About, I don't know, just how sin works if we try to attack it on our own versus if we allow the Spirit to come alongside us. And I'm looking forward to getting into that next week.
Yeah, super excited.
So before we get there, I do want to just toss up a question of just, what would your hope be for groups this week? What is kind of the, I don't know, what would your hope be for students as they read through Romans 7 this week?
I mean, number one, don't fall into the misconception trap that I fell into, for sure.
Yeah, that's good.
But number two, don't get so caught up in the downer stuff that you can't get to the good stuff. Like, I really would recommend that if you're leading group this week, go ahead and read through Romans 8 in preparation for group.
Yeah,
because
I think that's good.
When you are talking with the people in your group, it's going to be so much more helpful to know what's coming, so that when people start to get frustrated in Romans 7, you can guide them and say, actually, no, it actually is a lot better than this, and it's going to get better, and I swear it is. And so we're going to get to that next week, you know?
Yeah. And I think too, it could be an awesome time just to tell stories of times in our lives, whether that's now or whether it's another time where we've kind of been on that rock bottom point that Paul hits in verse 24, and say, you know, hey, this is what it was like when I tried to do it on my own.
Yeah.
And I think that testimony, you know, 1, 2, 3 times over in our mm-hmm. groups this week could be really powerful to say, you know, maybe to someone who needs to hear it in our groups, that like this, you know, isn't the way to do it. And we need to turn over to Jesus and say, hey, you know, do you have a better way for me to combat sin in my life?
Yeah, I love that idea. I think that's great.
Well, sweet. I hope that everyone has an awesome group and that this podcast has been helpful in kind of clarifying what the heck is going on in Romans 7. But thank you, Lexis. And
yeah, of course.
Everyone have an awesome week this week. And we'll be back next week to talk about Romans 8. See you guys.
See ya.